what and how to document a requirement. So now we go into the IEEE has defined a standards for requirements documentation. That means how, what would be included to document the requirement and how would it be documented. So I would use the IEEE standard as a business analysis to get that documentation. According to this standard, the requirements document for a software solution would include the following: introduction and objectives, functional requirements and non-functional requirements. So in order to make the documentation useful, each requirement should have a unique identifier, a structured numbering scheme, which will allow me to quickly reference what is the which requirement am I talking about. So you remember we spoke about the court laws and the specific article and the specific article, rule number, the section number, and within that the article number. So that would be a unique advantage for me to identify a specific requirement also. That's how it should work. The scope of the requirement, what is the source of the requirement, who, which stakeholder has listed this requirement, is it a business need or is it a user need. A broad description of the requirement and the situation or event that is associated with it. So I'm talking about describing the requirement broadly and connecting situations or events that are associated with it. A detailed description in the form of input, process, output. So obviously we discussed that there is an input state and there is an output state. So there is a current state and the final state, and basically the transition that causes the change from the input to the output would be called the process. So a detailed description of what is the input, what is the process or the transition, and finally what is the output. Functional requirements document. So functional requirements document is a formal statement of the application's functional requirements. Now what do I mean by the functional requirements? What will it include? Descriptions of the data to be entered into the system. So metadata information, description of the operations performed by each screen. That means when the user interacts, what will each screen do? Description of workflows performed by the system. What are the different workflows at the back end and at the front end? How is the system working? System reports or other outputs. Who can enter data into the system? How does the system meet applicable regulatory requirements? If there are applicable regulatory requirements to the system, are we meeting those requirements? And who can enter? Can anyone enter data, or are there specific people that can enter data into the system? The functional requirements document has the following characteristics. It demonstrates what that the application provides in value in terms of business objective and business processes in the next few years. So the application has to basically tell you what is the value it will add to your business objective, how will the business processes be affected in the next few years, will they add value to the business processes, will there need to be new business processes, and all of that. It contains a complete set of requirements for the application. It leaves no room for anyone to assume anything that is not stated in the FRD. So when we are talking about a complete set of requirements for the application, we are saying that it completely leaves no room. That means I completely understand what are the software requirements, what are the hardware requirements, what are possible solutions that are in the system, what will be the upgrades that will be needed to the system, what are the new business processes that are implemented. It would all be stated in the FRD. It is a solution independent. The FRD, it is a statement of what application is to do and not of how it works. So a solution independent document is purely, it does not, so the FRD does not depend on what is the solution. It is completely independent from the solution, but it will tell you how, what is the application going to do and not how it is going to work. So I will not tell the exact solution that is there, but I will say what the application is meant to do. The FRD does not commit the developers to a design. For that reason, any reference to the use of a specific is entirely inappropriate in an FRD. The functional requirement document does not tell the developers what the design it is or the tell which developer would be looking at the design. For any reference that is used for a specific is entirely inappropriate in the FRD. So I will not talk about specific technologies or specific developers that would be needed for that technology. A business requirements document or a BRD consists of functional requirements, business process model, system context design, flow diagram, as is to be business rules and data requirements, which we've spoken about, data models, conceptual models, logical models, data dictionary and glossary, stakeholder map, requirements, traceability, matrix. Now, let's understand why are non-functional requirements important or why do they matter. NFR or the non-functional requirements are the criteria that describe how a system should behave rather than what it should do. So we are talking about the behavior of the system and we are not talking about the actual design and the solution of the system. NFRs are typically related to performance, usability, security, scalability, maintainability, reliability and other quality attributes of the system. So in an NFR, what would I list? How would the performance be of the system? Who can use the system? How is the user interface designed? What is the kind of security that has been implemented? How scalable is it? How much can you maintain the system? How reliable is the system? And what are the other quality attributes of the system? The NFRs are usually expressed as contains or criteria that a system must meet or adhere to. So we will definitely mention what are the constraints or criteria that would be needed in the system, or that for sure would be needed in the system for the solution to be implemented. NFRs are often more difficult to measure, quantify, and functional requirements which specify what the system must do. So when I'm talking about NFRs, it would go back to the matrix where I spoke about soft and hard. So again, very difficult to measure. So it is cannot be quantified. Functional requirements can be quantified better. So non-functional requirements are soft, while functional requirements, as far as the benefits are concerned, are hard. So what do functional requirements do? They specify what the system must do. So give me a measurement where I can measure the system, which is not possible in a NFR. NFRs may be addressed through design choices, architectural decisions, coding practices, testing strategies, other activities throughout the software development lifecycle. So I have to address various design choices. What is the architectural decision? What are the coding practices that need to be followed? What are the strategies that need to be used for testing? And what are the activities that fall throughout the software development lifecycle? NFRs are important to consider alongside functional requirements, as they have a significant impact on the user experience and the overall success of the system. So when I'm talking about NFRs, I say they have to work alongside functional requirements. They have significant impact on the user experience and the overall success. So the more the impact on the user experience, the more positive response to the user experience, I get an overall success on the system. Okay, now let's look at the main categories for NFRs with examples. So first thing is performance. So like we had discussed, spoke about maybe 2000 being added to a group or your friend list. Here we are talking about minimum of 1000 concurrent users without any degradation in the response time. That means even if 1000 on a minimum is into the system, it would not affect the or degrade the system in any sort of way. Though if you notice over here, the maximum time or the maximum number of users is not mentioned. Then I come to usability. What does usability tell me? The system should be designed to be intuitive and user-friendly with a maximum learning curve of 30 minutes for the target audience. That means basically how the system has been designed is that in a minimum of 30 minutes, I would be able to learn the system, remember the options, navigate the system very quickly, irrespective of the target audience. Security. So what do I mean by security? That means I'm complying with any security policy that the company has. I'm including the relevant password protection or the password complexity requirements, whatever encryption protocols are there where the data needs to be encrypted, decrypted. I'm hashing the data to verify the validity of the data and setting up various access controls. That means only so users who have access should be able to access. Then I talk about the scalability. What does the scalability tell me? That the system should be designed to handle a potential increase in the usage by a factor of 10 within the next 10 years without any major redesign. That means whatever is the inputs to the system, even if I increase the usage 10x times, then in the next 5 years, I will not need to redesign the app. That means obviously less cost implications and less resource implications. How do I maintain the system? So maintainability. The system is designed to be easily maintainable, well documented code and modular structure architecture, which is very well clearly defined. So I have everything documented. I have created the relevant comments, attached the relevant comments, followed a modular architecture for the same. Reliability is how reliable the system is. The system should be able to operate continuously for at least 99.9% of the time with minimum downtime for maintenance or upgrades. That means the system is secure and the most of the exception scenarios within the system have been taken care of or have been handled, which ensures that 99.99% of the times there will not be any downtime, or the downtime would be very minimal, where you need to maybe clean out the system or upgrade the softwares that are related to the system. Availability. The system should be available 24/7 to the user with the maximum allowed downtime of 1 hour per month for maintenance and upgrades. So in maintainability, we said minimum downtime, and here we specified the downtime where we said it would be 1 hour per month when I would upgrade the system or put it for maintenance. Compatibility. The system should be able to integrate with other systems, technology used by the organization, such as third-party APIs or the legacy system. So again, these are external connections. So I would already have accounted for the external connection when I was building the app. So compatibility with all the possible external sources, whether it is moving the data into the solution, moving the data out to the legacy systems, being able to access the solution through a third-party API. So what is the IEEE format? Why, from the IEEE format point of view, the documentation can be more complete if it includes aspects such as personas of the users and user characteristics, which we already evaluated, the performance requirements, if any, interface requirements with other systems. For example, the lecturer swipes his card. This can be used to signal that a lecture was taken, or the visiting faculty payments could be calculated based on this. Or in general, there was a present attend, so maybe he took the lecture, or things like that. So maybe my system is designed for payroll. So how do I calculate visiting faculties? Maybe once I swipe the card before the lecture. Security requirements, that there is a PIN used, the possibility of using the card for e-cash. The security aspects could have been detailed out separately. So So let's summarize everything that we've spoken about. The requirements documentation provides a clear and shared understanding of the system or the product's purpose, functionality, and expected outcome, serving as a foundation for the development team to follow. The requirements documents helps to mitigate risk, avoid cost mistakes by identifying potential issues and conflicts or misunderstandings early in the project lifecycle, because this is a document that is going to be prepared first and obviously a touchstone as far as the other steps or other processes are concerned. Requirements documents enables effective planning, resource allocation by providing the basis for estimating effort, cost, timeline required to deliver the system or product. System ensures alignment and consistency between the stakeholders by facilitating communication and collaboration, promoting a shared vision and understanding of the project goals and the objectives. Requirements documentation serves as a reference and guide for ongoing maintenance and enhancement of the system or product, providing a record of decision, assumptions, and trade-offs made during the development process. Thank you.